Let us bow our heads for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This morning's scripture comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. I invite you to stand if you're able to do so for the reading of the gospel. He, Jesus, came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestor did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated. And let me just say quickly, we are in week two of recovery from falling off a ladder and then onto a ladder. And so I've got my camo cast on. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, I thought so. So anyway, I do appreciate all of your prayers, and I appreciate all the meals that you've been bringing by. I tell you what, I think that if I eat any more meals, I might pop the cast off myself. So I am very blessed to be a pastor of such a loving congregation, and I just want to say thank you again. And just have, I think, about three more weeks. So we'll just keep prayers for quick healing. You know, as we get into looking at the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Luke, well, I have to start just by telling you a story. I don't know if a story ties in or not, but I just want to tell it. Story about two robins who one day woke up early, and of course we know that the early bird gets the worm, right? And so they went flying out, and as they flew out, they saw that a field had been recently plowed. And so they swooped down. And man, there were all these worms. And they ate and they ate and they ate. They ate so many worms, they couldn't even fly. Some of you may know what that feels like. So they said, "You know what? Instead of trying to fly, why don't we just digest for a while and we'll lay over here on..." Ate those two robins who were out in the sun. And you know what that cat said? That cat said, "Oh, I love Baskin Robbins." I know, it's bad, isn't it? And shame on you, because you're going to tell it to somebody else. You know, I really wish that understanding Jesus in the Beatitudes was as easy as a cat catching two overstuffed robins. I knew you were wondering how I was going to tie that in. Inside out and upside down, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Blessed are the poor, happy are the hungry, fortunate are those that mourn. I have yet to see a happy, hungry person. What about Jesus' comments to the wealthy and the well-respected? All of his woe to yous. You know, it makes me think for just a minute. You know, on a world scale, the United States is a very rich place. This nation, compared to other nations, is way up there in terms of gross national product, income, life expectancy, health care, educational opportunities, and military might. In terms of what the world would call rich, my friends, we are in the number one spot. But think about it. This is not the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where the average lifespan is 49 years. Where 55% of child deaths are because of malnutrition, where armies of six neighboring countries, two refugee groups, and three rebel armies are fighting for possession of the natural resources, and they do not care about the needs of the common people. It's not Serbia. It is estimated that a family needs 450 marks a week to live. But you can only earn 660 marks a week. The inflation is running over 100%. It's not Zambia, where the plague of HIV and full-blown AIDS has reduced life expectancy from 70 years to 39 years in just a decade. The number of orphan children due to this pandemic is estimated to be 500,000. And will double in the next 8 years. Blessed are the poor, happy are the hungry, fortunate are the tearful. Really? Everything is inside out and upside down and back to front. But I think really to understand it, we got to go back to the start of Jesus' ministry. When Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah regarding himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." Right after this, some people tried to push him off a cliff. He was not a very popular person with people who were in charge. To the rich and to the powerful, Jesus was not good news. He was bad news. If they didn't take action, their whole world would be turned inside out and upside down. The poor were described very warmly as God's children, that God loved them and God cared for them. They hadn't heard a message of love, but God wanted good things for them. Jesus went on to tell the poor that God is not far away. God is closer than you think. And that in your suffering, in your hurting, you are blessed. Now, contrast this to the woe to you statements that Jesus also makes. Woe to the rich, because God can do little for the self-satisfied. God can do little for the self-seeking. God can do little for the self-centered. Eugene Patterson, in his translation of the Message from the Bible, says instead of translating the word woe, he translates it into the word trouble ahead. And I like what it does to the translation. It's trouble ahead for those of you who think they've made it. Well, guess what? That's all you're ever going to get. It's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself, with where you are right now. The problem is, you're not going to be satisfied there very long. There's trouble ahead if you think life is all fun and games. Because guess what? There's suffering in this world, and it will catch up with you. There's nothing intrinsically wonderful about poverty or about tears or suffering. And there's nothing intrinsically evil in riches or laughter. The blessing that the poor receive is due to their complete dependence on God. And so, my friends, I ask you, are you dependent on God in all things, or do you trust in the stuff of this world more? The woe of the riches is that they're blind to the fact that they need God. We end up isolating ourselves and living in a zone of comfort that enables us to forget about a hurting world, that enables us just to focus on ourselves and become completely self-centered. My friends, I stand before you to tell you that we need the Beatitudes. We need to have our world turned inside out and upside down, because that's the world that God is telling us about, not the world that we see in before us, not the world that makes sense to us, but the world that makes sense to God, that has us living for others, that has us looking for others, that has us serving in love as we have been served by Christ Jesus. In Brooklyn, New York, CUSH is a school that caters to learning disabled children. Some children remain in CUSH for their entire school career, while others can be mainstreamed into conventional schools. At a CUSH fundraiser dinner, the father of a CUSH child delivered a speech that would never be forgotten by all who attended. After extolling the school and its dedicated staff, he cried out, "Where is the perfection in my son, in my son Shea? Everything God does is done with perfection, but my child can understand things that other children can do very easily. My child cannot remember facts and figures as other children do. And so I ask you, where is God's perfection?" The audience was shocked by the question, pained by the father's anguish. "I believe," the father answered, "that when God brings a child like this into the world, the perfection that he seeks is in the way that people respond to this child." He then told the following story about Shea. "One afternoon, Shea and I walked past a park where some young boys Shea knew were playing baseball. Shea asked, 'Do you think they'll let me play with them?' I knew that my son was not at all athletic and that most boys would not want him on their team. But I understood that if my son was chosen to play, it would give him a much needed sense of belonging. I approached one of the boys on the field and asked if Shea could play, and the boy looked around for guidance from his teammates. Getting none, he took matters into his own hand and said, 'We're losing by 6 runs and the game is in the 8th inning. I guess he can come be on our team and we'll try to put him up sometime in the 9th. I was ecstatic. Shea smiled broadly. Shea was told to put on a glove and go out and play a real short center field. In the bottom of the 8th inning, Shea's team scored a few runs, but was still behind by 3. In the bottom of the 9th, Shea's team scored again, and now with 2 outs and the bases loaded with a potential run, game-winning run on base, Shea was scheduled to be up. Would this team actually let him hit? Would they actually put him in the game at this juncture?" Surprisingly, Shea was given his at-bat. Everyone knew that it was all but impossible because Shea didn't even know how to hold the bat properly, let alone hit with it. However, as Shea stepped up to the plate, the pitcher moved a few steps closer and lobbed the ball in softly so Shea could at least make an attempt to swing at the lob. The first pitch came in and Shea swung clumsily and missed. One of Shea's teammates came up behind Shea, and together they held the bat and faced the pitcher, waiting for the next pitch. The pitcher again took a few steps forward to toss the ball softly towards Shea. As the pitch came in, Shea and his teammate swung at the bat, bat the ball together, and they hit a slow grounder that went right back to the pitcher. The pitcher picked up the soft grounder and could have easily thrown the ball to first base. And Shea would have been out, and that would have been the end of the game. Instead, the pitcher took the ball and threw a high arc to right field, far beyond the reach of the first baseman. Everyone started yelling, "Shea, run to first! Run to first!" Never in his life had Shea run to first. He scampered down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. By the time he reached first base, the right fielder had the ball. He could have thrown the ball to second base, who then would tag Shea out, because Shea was still running. The right fielder understood what the pitcher, what his intentions were. And so he threw the ball high and far over the third baseman's head. And everyone yelled, "Shea, run to second." And so he ran to second. And as he circled the bag, they told him to run to third. And they all were yelling, "Run to third, Shea, run to third." And as he got to third base, they kept running. They kept yelling, "Run home, run home." Shea ran home and stomped on home plate. And all 18 boys lifted him on their shoulders and made him their hero. Just like he had hit a real grand slam and won the game for his team. That day, said the father softly, with tears that were just rolling down his face, those 18 boys reached their level of God's perfection. My friends, these kids got it right. They didn't follow the rules. They followed their heart. May we allow God and God's Holy Spirit to turn our lives inside out and upside down so that we can be a part of the process of making things the right way, the right way around, the godly way. Because truly, that is the way of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.